There's a classic butcher shop in the East Bottoms section of Kansas City with hand-carved signs, house-made chutney and pickles, a butchering table in the middle of the room. You can go there to pick up freshly made sausages spiced with herbs grown in window boxes. Sounds like a story your grandma likes to tell, doesn't it? Of a bygone era. Maybe this sounds like a good Monroe Dodd history show or something. Think again. I'm Jabulani LaFall, and on today's Central Standard, we'll hear about a new but old kind of butcher shop called The Local Pig and a movement to bring back locally sourced meats. But first, fashion designer Peggy Nolan is coming through, and we'll send a red carpet reporter to see what she's wearing. Her West 18th Street storefront is taking on a new look. Two local business owners, cutting meat and cutting-edge fashion. That's ahead on Central Standard after this hour's news. Good morning, Kansas City. According to our guest today, the difference between art and fashion boils down to who's making the product and what their intention is. She says anyone who wears her clothes likes to be looked at. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabulani LaFall. And speaking of looked at, if you're on 18th Street, you probably can't help but notice a colorful creative monstrosity that's in front of Peggy Nolan's storefront. A fixture in the Kansas City community, Peggy has recently been plying her trade in Los Angeles and comes back home at least once a month. She's now prepared to revamp her storefront in the Crossroads. We'll talk about that and some tattoos and some flair for fashion here on Central Standard today. Welcome, Peggy Nolan.
Hello. So happy to be here.
All right. A critic once said about your work.
Oh, no.
Your work has a funny vibe to it, but you're not kidding.
Yeah.
Is that still a good way to describe
it? That's a great way to put it. I mean, there's a sense of humor involved in everything that I do on purpose. And there's I feel like there's also a sense of irony, too. So I think that she said that my work is funny, but I'm not joking. And I thought that was, like, perfectly summed up what I try to tell people but don't have the words for. And I really appreciated that. I use that. I quote her a lot in that.
Speaking of funny but not joking, if people are familiar with your storefront on 18th
right.
Street in the Crossroads, next to YJ's, you for years had a long protruding green claw.
Right. For about a year and a half it was up.
Hanging from there.
Hanging above the door, and it just came down.
And you were working on it for a while before that.
Almost 3 months. I mean, that was the first. It was sculpted out of styrofoam, and it was the first. That was very experimental as far as working with that medium. I'd never done that before. It took way too long.
So tell us about the storefront revamp. Why you decided to take the claw down? And we'll talk about a little bit
sure.
about what's up there now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I redo my store often. The claw was just an extension of regularly changing installations that I do and have done. I've been on at 124 West 18th for almost 6 years now. So that was the fifth major installation that I'd done, the green hand with the green fingers inside. And I changed it for several reasons. One, because that's what I do there. I was ready to make something new. I was ready to try my hand at that type of work again. It was also looking pretty weathered and needed to come down. Like I said, that was the first time we'd done something like that. So the learning curve took a long time. The right tools for the right job were something we figured out as we went along. And it needed a change. It needed a makeover. It needed a huge, snotty cat.
A huge snotty cat.
Yeah, don't you think?
That's a great segue into our next question,
right.
Actually. What's there now?
Okay, so
a huge
snotty cat. So naturally, of course. Yeah. It's not, that wasn't what I originally concepted. It was supposed to be a tiger, just a simple old tiger just straddling the top of my store. But as we got to, when I say we, I mean Christine Stormberg and I, who I met while I was teaching at the Kansas City Art Institute. We began sculpting this tiger, and you know, just as it happens creatively, sometimes we took some liberties and put a pig nose on her instead, and gave her a joint and a
right.
cell phone and
right.
a belly button piercing and some earbuds and some snot.
And by a joint, you don't mean the cartilage.
We didn't give her that.
right. So it's actually a pig head. It
you
looks like a pig head attached to a tiger's
I think it
body.
Looks like a pig head because of the pig nose. But the only pig element that we added was the nose. If we changed the nose, maybe it would look like more like a tiger. I don't know. She's her own beast.
So what does this say, this tiger, pig nose, hybrid, snotty cat, smoking a joint. What does it say about your new business branding efforts? What kind of clients are you hoping to attract with this?
More snotty cats. You know, I feel like they're just they're, the market there is wide open.
Right.
You know, nobody's really catering to them. Right.
It really is.
It's uncat.
Uncat.
Cat.
Right.
No, I don't. You know, I like to draw attention to that space. I like it to look unusual. I want and work really hard for it to look like something nobody's ever seen before. And I think that that works. And I can tell the reason I know I've succeeded is when people walk in and are like speechless, are utterly confused.
I think this takes the cake. And if you need, if you want to see this snotty cat, pig, tiger hybrid that likes to get high,
right?
You can go to kcur.org and
right, there's some progress picks up.
Yeah, progress picks right up now at kcur.org.
Right.
Speaking of progress, there's a rumor going around that you have left for L.A.
Not true.
But that's not entirely
true. It's not entirely true. No, I have enjoyed pursuing some creative endeavors out there, but...
What are you doing out there? We're not going to let you just get off with creative endeavors.
I started a company with Christine Stormberg called Great Stuff, and we do large and small-scale fabrications for individuals, for companies. Very similar to Snotcat, to the Green Hand. And there's some more technical type carvings and sculptures that we've done, too, that aren't quite as cartoony and comical. And both of us have found that work to be very rewarding, very challenging. And Christine Stormberg has a store in L.A. as well called The Dog Show. It's a clothing store. And she's done some of that work for herself. I do this type of work for myself, too. We joined forces. We really enjoy working together. We can do it really cheaply. We're both really proud of what we make at the end. It's incredibly fulfilling. And it involves the same part of my brain as like making garments does. It's putting stuff together. It's pattern making and it's construction, which are all part of garment making as well. And being in L.A., there's a huge market for that kind of stuff, for commercials, for movies, and for more businesses just like ours.
Are you rebranding Peggy Nolan out in L.A. as well?
Yeah, of course.
Tell us how you're going about doing that.
Well, my intention is to open a shop out there, although I'm being very deliberate and specific about the way I do it. One thing that I found through my shop in Kansas City is that I'm not a business person first. When my main goal is to profit, I am not a very happy person, which is
right.
Difficult when you're a business owner because, of course, you need to be making money. And so I like making things. That's what makes me the happiest. I like making cool things that I'm proud of. Oftentimes, it doesn't translate into making money for many creative people. And so I need to do it the right way in order for it not to be just a storefront, in order for it not to be just a clothing store. I need to be very deliberate about it.
Why was it important for you to keep your storefront in the crossroads and maintain a presence here in KC? Why are you splitting your time back and forth?
My store here is my baby. It's it means so much to me. I learned what I like to do in there. I learned what I don't like to do in there. I feel really blessed to be there, and I want to be there until I'm 60, 70 years old and until I can't be there anymore. You know, I love being able to
until
work.
Until they're hauling you out. I'm Peggy exactly. Nolan. You can't do that.
Exactly. And so I love being able to go and pursue creative opportunities all over the world, but come back and really execute that what I've gained and spend my money here redoing my store.
How has coming back and forth changed your artistic approach? Coming back and forth between Kansas City and L.A.
I have more frequent flyer miles.
Right. Beyond that.
Yeah. But I don't know if it really has. You know, I feel lucky in that I always have an idea, something that I wish that I could be executing, a new project that I want to be working on. It's widened my audience. More people know of it. I'm meeting new people and being able to work with new people, which is always awesome. I've always loved collaborating, something I did have a lot here in Kansas City. And getting to do that with other people, with fresh energies, fresh creative ideas in any other city is always exciting.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM, streaming live on kcur.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. Our guest is artist and fashion designer Peggy Nolan. She's a fixture here in the Kansas City community. She divides her time between Kansas City and L.A. now and has a crazy, snotty cat pig.
Yes.
On her store in the Crossroads that you can check out on our website at kcur.org as part of her revamp. She's constantly reinventing herself. Speaking of which, You really got dressed up for today's
Oh, of course.
Radio
I'm wearing
interview.
A full couture ball gown.
She's wearing a full couture ball gown.
Or I could be wearing the same outfit that I've been wearing for 3 days because I've been working on the installation.
Which is what I would call hammerflage.
That's a good, yeah.
You got hammer pants and a camouflage top.
That's it.
One leg is cow print, right?
You're very observant.
The other leg is leopard.
It's tiger, I guess. You're not even looking at
leopard,
it. You just
tiger.
Know. You have it memorized. Yeah.
Right, right.
And then there's like some orange and black stripes in the middle.
Right.
Yeah.
And then on the back, you got the sort of Gap print shirt thing going on. You made that yourself.
Yeah, I did.
Right. So the shoes. Tell us about the shoes.
The shoes I kind of made myself, too. They're like
right,
a $10 pair of like Converse knockoffs. They're the style of Converse, but they're not Converse.
They're not
so
Converse.
I did it intentionally because I wanted when I bought these shoes, I wanted to take off the sole and like epoxy it to a stripper heel, like a Converse stripper shoe, you
right.
know, like kind of something sporty. Didn't work out that way. But before I did that, I painted on my own Converse logo and my own Nike logo.
Yeah, you drew a Nike swoosh on one side and a Converse logo on the other
with
side.
With puffy paint.
Right. Are you trying to send a message?
I guess not.
About
I
corporatism
mean,
and marketing.
You know, I wish I was that like
branding.
Intellectual. I wish there was like some big thing behind it. It's not.
Said,
I think it's funny.
Cool.
Yeah,
right,
I
right.
think it's
okay.
funny. Yeah, and you know, like I get it. Like I get like that there is probably an element to that. I remember one of the very first things I ever made. I was like in elementary school, and I remember buying a black backpack and like whiteouting a Nike swoosh on it because I really not to be funny because I really wanted a Nike swoosh backpack and I just couldn't find one or couldn't afford one. I don't even know what it was, but that's what I did. And I also remember taking off a. Buying a pair of one expensive pair of like Polo Ralph Lauren jeans, taking off the Ralph Lauren label, like unstitching it very carefully, and then stitching it on to the back of my other jeans every day. So it looked like I had a million different styles. What is up with that?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what's up with
that. I don't get it either.
You have pale ash blonde pigtails going on,
too.
That's the piece de resistance.
That's
the cherry
today.
On top.
Yeah.
That's what's going on today.
Right.
Tell us about that style, pale ash blonde.
Well, I love the idea of having gray hair, like gray, like beautiful, like gray, naturally gray hair. It hasn't happened that way, so I tried to fabricate it on my own from Sally Beauty Supply, and pale ash blonde was the closest that I got. It's a little bit more blue than it is gray.
Yeah, it is.
Pale blueberry or something. Gray
kinda
blueberry.
Marble 100.
Blue. Right. It is, right. But this is today, you know, like this color fades pretty fast, so it's like, who knows what it'll look like tomorrow.
So in a lot of ways, you're considered a local fashion icon. You are a local fashion icon. What advice would you give our listeners looking to become a little more daring in their look? Get their hammerflage on.
All right. Well, let's see. I think as a general fashion rule, all men should, maybe just for summer, go shirtless with loincloths. I feel like that's kind of a general rule. That should just happen, don't
right.
you think?
Right. Maybe.
Or men in Daisy Dukes.
Men in Daisy Dukes.
Yeah.
Add some gladiator sandals.
Gladiator sandals. You could start that, you know. You have the power, Jabaloni.
I did last
Daisy Dukes. You just did it.
Not gonna do that.
Women, I think all women should shave their head first.
Right. Like you did.
Right. And maybe just like wear what makes them feel good. Can you imagine that? A world full of shirtless men and then women with shaved head and like whatever they feel the best in, most comfortable in. Perfect world.
I think that's
utopian society.
I think that's an afternoon in the crossroads, actually.
It is. That's where my influence is coming from, obviously.
So you walk out every day wearing these incredible get-ups. Is there a process that goes through it, or is the lack of effort the effort?
I guess it is. You know, like, I love to be looked at. I love to wear bright color clothing, and I love people inquiring about what I'm wearing for the most part. And so it's what feels natural to me. You know, like when people feel, put on jeans and a t-shirt and that's what they feel best in. This type of colorful avant-garde clothing feels most natural to me. I feel out of place and not myself if I'm wearing something a little more subdued.
Now, when you're in other cities, like if you're in Silver Lake or you're in Brooklyn or something like that, how do other cities react versus being here where you're Peggy Nolan
yeah.
and you're the exception?
Right. It's the same. I feel like there are people that get it and people that don't get it everywhere. There are people that love it and appreciate it here and don't want anything to do with me here. And it's the same in every other city. There's just more of them in other places, in bigger cities. So I think it's the same. I think for the most part, though, you know, like whatever energy or spirit you're putting out, people are sucking that in more than like what you're wearing. And for the most part, it get a positive response. Not always, which is okay. But I think people like it. I think they're amused in the end. They're entertained, which is pretty cool, I think. I don't mind people laughing with me.
Would your advice then be to put out a vibe and a spirit of who you are rather than wear something?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think people look best when they feel their best, you know, and you feel your best when you like the way you look and when you're wearing something that like reflects that. And so I don't know if clothing is really, although I'm a clothing designer, I don't know if clothing is really that important. You know, I think it's just like an extension of who we are. And I don't know if it as far as like fashion goes, I have no qualms about saying that you should just wear what makes you feel good. I don't think you have to buy into any certain brand or idea or any certain look. It just should be what you like.
Here's something, Peggy, that a lot of people might not know about you. You were actually a religious studies major.
I was right around here at Rockhurst.
Right. What made you go into that field first?
Well, let's see. I'm trying to like make that long story short. That's always been a strong interest of mine. My parents, I feel like, had a lot to do with that, as they have a lot to do with the art that I create now. I think that religion for the most part, or the, you know, people's belief in whatever they choose to believe in, religion or not, kind of dictates what they do on an everyday basis, on a day-to-day basis, and what they think ultimately will happen to them. And I think that that's really interesting to me. And I love learning about other people's ideas, their ways of living, how it relates to mine, how it's completely different to mine. I really appreciate that. And so that's why I pursued studying religious studies. I didn't finish that degree because I got the opportunity to go to New Delhi with Retail Store Review, that used to be on 39th Street, and do her, Terry Richardson's production for a clothing line. And I knew that that was going to be kind of like...
This is India. This is not India. A new place with cold cuts. This is India.
India, right. And so that, like, what better opportunity to study religion than being like a student of life, you know, and going to New Delhi and like being immersed in somebody else's culture. And so I felt that like that was a completion of that degree process. I don't know a better way to put it, but it was amazing.
So when you came back from India, you were like a snotty cat with a tiger body, your store. Like what prompted you to...
Traveling in general, it wasn't just India, but traveling in general is really, you know, as it does for everybody, I think really opens to your eyes to how big the world is and how little, like, really what we do matters in a way, not in a self-deprecating way, in a way that gives you like extreme ultimate permission to do whatever it is that you want. Like, I was wrapped up in little things that didn't matter, and then getting into like a country like India, like, what am I concerned about what people think about me for? Like, this world is so huge. I should just do whatever I want all the time. And so I feel like it just gave me a little self-confidence, a push in that way of really kind of spending some more time discovering who I am and what I like and making that become a reality. And so when I returned, there was a little storefront open. It was Shuttlecock's Chadwick Brooks space, and it was for rent. And David Ford gave me the chance. He believed in me.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Tell us about your short film that you made not too long ago. It's a film with no dialogue, a film in which a rack of your clothing that you designed and made and probably spent tireless hours on explodes.
Yeah.
And then in one scene, sinking in the water. In another scene, it's on fire. Tell us about your intentions behind this film.
It's complicated because... I don't know, really, you know, to be completely honest with you. I feel like it came from the idea of impermanence and trends and making things, making disposable things, which I feel like I'm doing a lot on purpose. And so when it comes to like blowing up a rack of clothes, it was like really empowering. You know, it did spend a lot of time, and I couldn't have done it with so many people in town that really spent a lot of time with me, helping me do that, helping me make that dream a reality. And blowing up something that I worked really hard on, it kind of came full circle for me, because it matters so much, and it doesn't matter at all, you know, what I make with my hands.
Is that what you arrived at? I mean, because immediately when you look at that, you think she's talking about things being temporary.
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely am. And I feel like it helped me visualize that. It's an illustration of that philosophy for sure, and it helped me come to better conclusions about my own work.
The video is called Peggy Nolan Kansas City. If you want to check it out, it's on Vimeo, and we'll have some of that up on kcr.org as well. Speaking of impermanence and temporary nature of things, what would you say are the pros and cons of the fashion world as you see it right now? What's right about it? What's wrong about it? Through the eyes of Peggy Nolan.
Oh, let's see. What's wrong about it first, so we can end positively? What's wrong about it, I guess, is people believing that they have to buy into something. Not wanting to buy into something, but believing they have to buy into something. And I guess that leads right into what's right about it, in that like we're all consumers, like we're all swayed by that in one way or another, whether it's fashion or just like items, you know, that we are being advertised. But I, you know, there's I guess it just depends on who you are, what's right about it. There's a lot of things right about it, because there's a lot of creative people creating things for other people, you know, and a lot of people are fulfilling their dreams through the fashion world. And it's just another medium of creating things. It's the one that I found that I like pursuing, and I like making clothing. That's what I like making with my hands. So I don't know. There's a ton of things right with it.
What's the difference between fashion and style?
I think fashion and style are one and the same and totally different. It depends on if you're talking about the fashion industry. You know, if it's the fashion industry, it's like people creating lines and selling them to customers, whether they're buyers or individuals. Style is something that I think everybody has. You know, like it doesn't have to be good style. Sometimes I think bad style is better style. You know, it's more individual. It's something to look at. It's like making waves. You know,
like camouflage.
Exactly. You know, I don't go out of my way to try to look attractive or look like somebody else's idea of pretty or attractive. Like, I definitely go out of my way to look like an individual and to look like I have an individual style. That's the type of world I want to live in.
What can Kansas City do to retain more of its artistic talent, keep people such as yourself from having to leave it all?
They're doing it. Kansas City's doing it. There's so many arts organizations and like entrepreneurial business organizations that are helping with that thing. I absolutely don't think people have to leave. I think that it's a big, huge world out there, and that everyone should leave and come back to any place that they're from or want to go to. Like, we all, I think, have a responsibility to explore and to travel and to learn about other cultures and other people and other things. Kansas City's right on point. It's got it going on.
So what's your advice for a young artist in Kansas City?
Stay busy, stay active, keep making things. Like, one thing that's wonderful about Kansas City is that there are opportunities here, and there's not a million people fighting for that same opportunity, you know, and that's something that really has been to my advantage, that there are the same grants, there are the same organizations set up that there are in bigger cities. And there's like, I don't know, 3 million less people here, you know, to pursue that. And I cut my teeth here. I learned, like I said earlier, I learned what I like to do here. I learned what I didn't like to do here, but just by staying busy and making things individually and with my friends. And so you just got to do stuff. You just got to make stuff. That's like, whatever it is you like to do, stay busy doing it. Spend all your money doing it. Like, maybe that's the worst advice, but like, that's how I've made myself happy, is like to, you know, work my, there's been several times where I've had like overnight jobs, you know, like we're working $10 an hour overnight job, just so I can like come to my store and like spend way too much money on one of my like one of my ideas, you know, and it's tiring and it's exhausting, but it's incredibly fulfilling. And I know that I'll look back and be proud that I did it.
Speaking of young artists, you are still a young artist. You're not yet,
not for long.
You're not yet even 30 yet. What do you have coming up that you want to tell us about?
I bought myself a ticket to Hawaii.
Then what?
For my 30th birthday. And I'm going to get a head tattoo.
What is this head tattoo going to entail?
Well, you know, I love, my personal aesthetic has always been really like white trash and high class at the same time. Like those two worlds colliding interests me to no end. Like you can't tell if somebody has the worst taste.
White class, in other words.
Exactly. Well, I don't know if that's what I should say. No, that's maybe not exactly what I mean at all. But, you know, where those two like... If you can't tell if somebody like has just way too much money and they don't know what to do and they just put everything on in their closet,
right,
or they have the worst taste in the world. Like that has like always been really interesting to me. So adding to that, I'd like to and have wanted for several years now. This isn't a new idea. And my parents already know, so they're not finding out on the radio, that I want to get a head tattoo of my hometown, Independence, Missouri. Kind of old English, kind of prison style, the entire word.
Even the MO?
No.
Just Independence.
Independence, yeah.
Because that says...
It says more than one thing.
It's like a double entendre of old English prison.
Right, exactly.
You're going to have some like blood coming out of it? Or?
Of course.
Wow.
No, I won't. I mean, there probably will be blood. I don't have any other tattoos. I don't know how long it's going to take. I know for sure that it's going to hurt. But like I said, it's been something I've been considering for several years and have gotten my friends' advice, my friends and input, and I've settled on it. I'm going to do it.
Are you saying here on the radio that you're going to do it?
I am saying right here, right now, Peggy Noland, 10:31 a.m. in the morning, I am going to get a head tattoo.
That says Independence.
It says Independence.
Why go
dare
on
me?
That? Why go on after that?
Dare me to do it.
Independence, the double entendre that is
right.
Our guest, artist and fashion designer Peggy Noland, a fixture in the Kansas City community and independent from Independence. She's revamping her store in the Crossroads. It looks like a tiger with a pig head that she calls a snot cat, a.k.a. Sasha. Sasha Margarita. You can see Sasha Margarita on our website at kcur.org. Always a pleasure, Peggy. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much.
We're going to take a quick break. When we return, nationally renowned and locally revered Chef Alex Polk stops by with his new business partners to tell us about his new venture and how he's taking it to gastronomical proportions. We'll be right back.